Collectors, let's talk about the real villain in your collection. It's not Dr. Doom, it's the dreaded box stack. You know the one, piles of sagging boxes, and the issue you need is always in the bottom box. When you lift, you pray your spine survives. If your comic boxes are stacked like a game of Jenga, it's time for Drawer Boxes, the easy access storage solution from CollectionDrawer.com. Drawer Boxes are stackable up to 6 high, but you don't have to unstack anything to get inside. Just slide out the drawer and you're opening a treasure chest of comic glory. And just like any file cabinet drawer, they'll hang open on the own while you peruse your collection, thanks to their patented box locks box anchors that secure each unit so that they won't tip. Worried about a drawer slipping out and dumping that near mint run of Ultimate Spider-Man on the floor? Not a chance, but their patented locking tabs that keep drawers securely locked into their shell until you're ready to remove them. Let's talk box sort upright dividers. They keep your comics standing tall, sorted by title, issue, era, whatever you like, and make it easy to file. No more leaning stacks causing spine cracks. So ditch the lifting, ditch the chaos. Drawer boxes turn your collection into a library, not a workout. Visit CollectionDrawer.com and start enjoying your collection today. Doesn't your first Deadpool appearance deserve better than being buried in a cardboard coffin?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a bunch of places on the internet. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, Kick. We're even live on LinkedIn, everybody's favorite network. Just want to repeat again, still looking for a job out there. If there's any hiring
managers. I love every time, dude. We don't have to do this every time.
I love LinkedIn's media offer.
Sure. Sorry. Are you going to pay my salary from here on out, Pete? If the answer is no, I got to do this at the top of every
okay,
show.
Well,
I just sold a show about resumes to LinkedIn. I think it's going to go. It's like Breaking Bad, but it's where you lie at the bottom of your resume about
something. Hey, don't we have people to thank?
Hold on, Pete. Calm down. Very exciting show for you guys today. Lots of stuff to talk through. I do want to mention...
Great guess.
I think we mentioned this last time, but not all three of us are here, so I'll mention it again. This podcast has been nominated in this year's Podcast Award in the comedy category. Comic Book Club News, one of our sister podcasts, has been nominated in the arts category. And they basically took a bunch of random listeners and podcasters, sent them an email, said, hey, you can vote for the awards, people who registered previously. So if you did register previously and do want to vote for those two podcasts, you've got until September to do so. So please do so. That would be great. But that's something for
great
you
to do.
All
sitting
to
by
do.
The pool, cold cocktail in your hand, voting for podcasts.
Yeah, vote away.
Remember to vote. Voting is important. I think we all know that. We've seen.
Yes, and this is the only thing, the only vote that matters. I think.
Well, let's not get goofy.
I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah, if you're in line to vote for Comic Book Club at the Podcast Awards, stay online. I guess
stay online.
Stay online. No, what Pete was getting kind of antsy about is once a month on the podcast, we give a little thank you to everybody on our Patreon who supports us at $5 and up. We have other levels that I'll talk about at the end of this, but we give them a shout out, a little thank you with their names. And Pete really likes to get through it as quickly as possible because he doesn't respect our Patreon listeners.
Oh my God.
So let's kick it off with Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Lana Fotno.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
AP.
Bad Guys.
Beercat PhD.
Bradley Hansen.
Carrie Matthews.
Chad Breck.
Chad Post.
Chen Smale.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Runsfield.
Chris Terlizzi.
Clemens Luer.
Corey Kasha.
Oops, perfect. Corey. Next time you just take that, Corey, Pete. It's just Corey.
Corey Smoker.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabral.
Daniel Fuentes.
Danny Heck.
Darren Schwetpels.
David McKay.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sodaway.
Dylan LJ.
Eduardo Martinez.
M&M.
Enrique Chooms.
Gary Meyer.
Gerard Duvillier.
Ian Rady.
Uh-oh, it's spreading. Isaac Carter.
JG.
Jack Foster.
Jake Fry, my
James
guy.
Connolly.
Jared Sloan.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
Joe Benton.
John
Henderson.
Jonathan Chong.
Jonathan McCool.
Josh Wright.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Joshua Wiggler.
Kelby.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Lance Kaminsky.
Leewana Thomas.
Lee Hunt.
Luca Sink.
So nice, it's Matt Tice.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Matthew Taylor.
Max Baker.
Michael Milkap.
Michael Tillman.
Nathan Hall.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef Brett Macris, aka wow, Straight Bullies.
Omnia Solart.
Orin Dix.
Orlando Kelly Jr.
Oidis Larson.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Provocative Ambulance.
All Worship Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettinato.
Roxanne Tyler.
She's right in the other room. Sam Lim.
Sarah Schottmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Saunter.
Scary Stuff Podcast.
Ooh, Scott cool. Carpenter.
Scott England.
Scotty Dew.
Severin.
Stanley.
Steve Cook.
Steve Hunsberg.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12th Batch.
Tim Bubb.
Tom.
Troy Molinet.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
Will Diaz.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
Zika's Viral Comics.
And we want to remind everybody there are no refunds on the Patreon, regardless of how we pronounced your name. Also, thank you very much to everybody who does support the Patreon. We sincerely cannot keep it going without you.
And thank you to our dialect coach that brings us all of these vaguely French pronunciations that Pete slams at the end of every word.
If you would like to support it, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We start at $2 and up level, and you get access to our Discord. You also get access to our back catalog of podcasts that go from 2011 to today, many of which are not online. There's also other fun swag and bonuses, T-shirts, stickers, other ad-free podcasts, things like that. So please do check it out. Again, we really, really can't keep the podcast and website going without your generous support. So we truly appreciate it. And we also appreciate our amazing guests this evening. Woo-hoo. We got two of them for you, and we're going to bring in the first one here. He is the creator behind the Marvel art of Mike Del Mundo. And you're not going to believe this. It's Mike Del Mundo. Hello, hey! Mike. Welcome.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You have a Kickstarter for the Marvel art of Mike Del Mundo, which is your art book. This is part of the Clover Press. Am I getting that right?
Clover Press
line of books. This was launched on Kickstarter today, and it is successfully funded.
Woo-hoo.
So congratulations.
Shouts.
Great work out there.
And I guess that's it for the interview, because you don't need us anymore.
Yeah, you crushed it already. Deuces.
No, this is an awesome series. For anybody who doesn't know, the Clover Press has been putting out for a while, focusing on a bunch of artists. You are the latest in the line there. I mean, before we even get to the book itself, what does it mean to you to be part of this line, to have your own art book focusing on your art?
It's a dream come true. It's just the lineup alone of all the art books that they have done. Just being part of that lineup is legendary, man. Like, those are all like artists that I looked up to, and just having my name, you know, beside those guys, being able to see that in the library is going to be amazing. Just the fact that we're, you know, I've been able to have a body of work and to create this book. I never thought I'd be doing this. I was just happy to get that first Marvel cover gig, and like, 50 plus years later, and you know, if I could see myself 50 plus years later, I never thought this would have happened. So, yeah, man, it's been amazing.
That's awesome. What a nice time to sort of like have a little retrospective personally at the same time it's happening in the pages of this book.
Yeah, retrospective is the key word. I've been retrospecting a lot.
Well, when you're doing something like this, when you're putting together an art book, what I'm always curious to hear, like, what is the story you're trying to tell? Obviously, it's here's my career, but I imagine there's a little bit more of that when you are looking back and when you are laying out the art in a certain order, even beyond chronological.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's a big story. Like, we do want to promote that. I do want to promote that, like, you know, this is a body of work that consists of a lot of storytelling, and the way I like do my covers are more conceptual. So that's one theme that I want to get at. But there isn't a big story towards it. There's a lot of experiences looking back at those covers and, you know, being able to enjoy it now, as opposed to when you're going through deadline and you're just kind of in the moment of things. It's hard to really like sit back and be like, hey, I'm working on X-Men, Avengers, all these titles that I grew up with as a kid, especially the X-Men. And now looking back at all these covers, choosing these covers, looking back at the process and how we went through, how I got here, I can actually be in the moment of, not in the work, but in the moment of like me as a 12-year-old and enjoying comics. And I'm like, oh, this is what I, this is what it feels like as a person from the outside. But when you're like deep into the grind of comics, it's really hard to take yourself away from that and sit back and be like, I'm working on a Psylocke, like I'm working on a Psylocke character, or like I'm working on Wolverine, which is insane. Now I get to enjoy things, yeah.
So then how does that work when you're actually pulling the book together? Are you just like looking at all of your work like this 10-year-old that you're describing, your younger self, and like what's like sparking joy, what's getting you hyped? Like how do you put it together?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Like I'm looking at it with new eyes because a lot of the covers are fresh now. Like when you're staring at the screen every day, like 24 hours a day on a cover, you know, your eyes just get used to just this piece. So it's harder to enjoy it the way a reader would enjoy it. Now I get to enjoy it after, you know, after my eyes have settled. So now I could see it with fresh eyes and then enjoy it a bit more. But I actually really, like, when we were going through it, I was actually enjoying a lot of the thumbnails that I was working with. Because I do a lot of thumbnails when I work out these ideas for the covers. Those are, like, actually things that I was actually really, I don't know, it was just enjoyable because there's ideas there that never even made, you know, the final proof. Like they got cut in the cutting room floor. So to add to that, like we are bringing in a companion book with the Marvel art book that has all those thumbnails, so you can actually open that book up and open the Marvel art book up and you can kind of see where, you know, the origins of that, you know, cover came from.
How do you feel about how your style has developed over these past 15 years? Like, what would you say as an artist has changed the most?
Oh man, that's hard to answer because I never even looked at how I developed my style. I just kind of, I let it evolve in terms of how the story delegates it. So whatever script or idea there is for that book, I try to like work it like a creative director where it's like, what's the best possible way to convey this story or this image, whether it's like a graphic idea or more of like a painterly idea, like a Norman Rockwell, or we go like really simple, like Saul Bass. I kind of go in that way. Like how would I best take like an artist and create like this idea through their eyes? So I kind of just let it evolve. I kind of let my style evolve. A lot of it comes from boredom for the most part. You know, like I get really excited about a certain brush that I'm using or a certain way I like, angle my pencils and this and that. And like just certain styles, like whether it's hatching or I go like fully painted, I get really excited about those things. And then eventually, you know, after a run of covers, I get bored and I'm searching again. I'm constantly searching for something new.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then I you know, the cycle just keeps going on and on. Yeah.
Cool. I did want to mention before I forget, every week on the show, we have a cocktail that is either curated or created by a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris. He owns a restaurant called Shift that's down there. If you're ever in New Orleans, it's fantastic. And this week he created one called The Marvel Art of Mike Del Mundo, but it's a cocktail, which is gin, orange liqueur, Campari, lemon juice, pomegranate juice, and orange peel. As you are Mike Del Mundo, do you feel like that is appropriate? Does that appropriately represent you and your art in a cocktail form?
That is perfect, man. I love cocktails. And you added pomegranate in there. Yeah. So
yeah. Healthy. It's a health drink.
Yeah, one of my favorite fruits to work with. So
excellent.
Coming out of this, has it made you, has it changed your focus at all? Like working on something like this, I feel like we said, it's a retrospective. Does it sort of push you in a new spot, or are you setting up like a challenge? You're like, you know what? This is a thing I haven't done enough of, having looked back.
Like an art book?
Yeah. Coming out of doing an art book like this.
Oh, coming out of doing an art book. I mean, the goal is to, the goal after, you know, working at Marvel for so long, the goal was, or the dream was, like, hopefully, like, we'll make an art book, you know what I mean? And it's happening now. Like, I really feel like it's, for me, it's like, I just want to have this, all the stuff that I've done collected in a book, and then that's, like, the first chapter, and then, like, I'm on to the second chapter, like, what's, like, the next 10 years going to be, and how are we going to do volume two? So I kind of always look at it like, yeah, this is, not like pushing it aside, but it's like now it's a memoir, and you know, maybe this is like my metamorphosis into like butterfly mode, you know, and like, you know, there's a second chapter to it. So I'm always looking forward. Yeah, for sure. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I really love your art. I also am very impressed with the kind of perspective that you take in different things. It just seems like sometimes you look at something, you're like, that's cool, but what if we did this? Or what if we like kind of cut it here? I'm always impressed when it's like I see your work, because I get to kind of see a little bit of how you see the world. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about like when you're get excited, like, hey, I get to do a cover, or I get to draw a Wolverine. Like, are there certain panels that you're like take time with and kind of really kind of put your magic dust on? Or how do you kind of do such amazing kind of like panels and splash work and stuff like that?
Well, in regards to like interiors, I work with like the script as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like divine intervention, or just like it just happens organically where the script just calls for certain things to work. I'm constantly thinking like ideas, and I'm trying to be as highly creative as possible, but I don't want to go so hard that it, you know, kind of overcomes like the script. So like I always base it on a script and whatever I can do. So a lot of times, there's some books that I've worked on where it's like, just say the Avengers, where the script didn't call so hard on like really complicated panels and just crazy like splashes of like cool art. But every now and then, like I'll squeeze it in, like I'll try to figure out what works, you know, like, and I do a lot of Easter eggs too when I work on books. And it's the same thing with Easter eggs. Like I don't force the Easter eggs on there. It's like, if it calls for like a great song lyric and it works with the story, I'll put it in. So a lot of it just happens organically. And sometimes, yeah, like divine intervention, maybe it's like God just put it all aside and was like, here, you do your thing on this one double page spread or something.
That's awesome. Yeah. I just want to mention, we have made a sale here on the show. Pete Patron says, just pre-order the slipcase edition. My man has great pieces. So you're getting that comic book club bump. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. And having the Kickstarter open, it's dialed up like 4 or 5 times since we've been talking. So it's working. The juice is flowing.
That's dope. Thanks, guys.
We do have a question here on Twitch I wanted to ask. Eric MCI900 says, I've always wondered if Marvel artists feel competitive. While there is support in the community, it seems Marvel often spotlights one artist at a time. Shifting the focus could feel like a person leaving you unread. I mean, I would say not to take your answer, but I feel like that is a true of any job, really, right?
Yeah.
But how do you take that?
I mean, like, I come from, like, a competitive background. Like, I come from, like, before I was drawing, I was b-boying, I was breakdancing. So it was just full competition.
And the wow, that's about, wild.
Yeah, and the coolest part about breaking is it's an art form. It's, like, a competitive art form. So when I came into comics, my whole mode was like, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, kind of like competitive, like that was my mode. And I found that, like, when you do get into comics, there is a competition, but I also found that, like, I've gotten less and less competitive and more and more just into myself and, like, what art I do. Like, it's so subjective that I guess for me, like, I caused the illusion of being competitive just to keep myself motivated. But in reality, like, we're all just doing it. You know what I mean? We're like, we're just having fun creating at this point, you know?
Cool. When are we going to get the break-in art of Mike Del Mundo?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I did, like, a retail variant for Boom with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and the TMNT line.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And we did, like, a nice, like, Ninja Turtles Power Rangers cipher in the sewers, and that was fun. So I did that in collaboration with one of my good friends that owns a graffiti shop in Toronto. So we did a collab with that, and it's, like, a really cool hip-hop variant cover.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
man. I did want to, just to take a swerve, wanted to ask you about Three Worlds, Three Moons, which I don't know if folks listening or watching know, but that was a thing that you started with Jonathan Hickman and Mike Huddleston, and it was, like, one of the first of the Substack comic book imprints. I don't know if that's exactly the right word, but sort of like the comic book Substack push that came out a couple of years ago. This one has stuck around. It's morphed in a big way. It's definitely seems like it's changed to become different things, but yeah. What is it now, and what is your involvement now? What do you see Substack comics, at least in terms of Three Worlds, Two, Three Moons, becoming at this point in time?
In terms of what we're doing, we're heavily doing things in the background. So there's going to be a lot of things that I can't talk about now, because but a lot of things are happening in 2026, a lot of releases. Me and Jonathan, actually, we just finished up our book, so that's ready to go. Like, that's, you know, being planned out. It's all done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're just slowly, like, building in the background. Like, the first 3 years of Three Worlds, Three Moons, I'm not sure if you guys have been following it, but we started from the other way around, where we were building the world before we started the stories. Mm-hmm. So we've been building this world for 3 years, doing these big 200 page books every year that kind of focused on certain parts of the world. So it's almost like you're getting an encyclopedia of, like, our world before we actually tell, like, the big, big story.
Wow.
So now we're at this point where we're going to be bringing out all the, you know, the big guns. Like, yeah.
Does that feel good to finally get to that point after doing all, like, the hard building work in the background?
Yeah, it feels good, man. And, like, those 3 years they didn't feel hard. It was really fun. We're just building this world. We're just adding things to it. And then all of us are just highly creative people. And we never got in each other's way. We're just like, hey, what about this? And then Jonathan will be like, yeah. He's like, that's kind of cool. I'll just wait for that. And then he's like, and then he'll have an idea based on that idea. And it just keeps going on like that. Same with Huddleston. So we're all just, like, super highly creative, and it's been super fun. So I hope that we can just keep building on this world and keep doing what we're doing for those 3 years on top of the stories that we're doing too.
Awesome. Cool. And just to wrap it back to the Kickstarter, we've talked a little bit about it. You've mentioned some of the elements, but is there a bonus or something on there that you think people should really keep their eyes on that you're particularly excited about?
Sorry, ask a question.
Like a bonus, like something, specific edition or a print or something like that you think is particularly cool that people should check out
for the art book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like sorry to switch back to that.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, the companion book is mm-hmm. like something I'm super mm-hmm. excited about. Because it's literally, we just basically took basically all the covers, some of the covers that you see in the book, we created like a book that is pretty much the thumbnails that go with those covers. So you can kind of see the beginnings of that thumbnail and how it kind of turned into like this final piece. And we just jam-packed it with stuff. So it's going to like, we'll probably put like X-Men Legacy, Elektra thumbnails, all sorts of cool stuff in there. And it's like a nice piece where you can just put in your pocket, you know, check it out in the bathroom. It's one of those kinds of books. We didn't want it to be like super pristine. We wanted it to be something that you can just carry around and just like bang around, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, Mike, congratulations on the success of the Kickstarter. Congratulations on everything. Looking forward to what you guys are putting out next year.
Love your art, man.
Three Moons.
Yeah, so cool.
Appreciate it, guys.
And have a great evening.
Yeah, you guys too.
All right.
See you, man.
All right, there we go. Mike Del Mundo. You can check out the Marvel art of Mike Del Mundo until, I want to say September. Yes, September 5th at 3 a.m. That's what the Kickstarter is. It's at 63,500 of its 10,000 goal.
A lot of folks dialed in right here. Like, thanks for doing that. That's awesome. It felt like a real CBC bump.
It really did. There you go. But we do have another guest on the show that I'm really excited to talk to. He is the writer behind Dracula's Brunch Club, which is coming off from Oni Press on August 26th. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Gonsar. Brian,
hey,
welcome.
Welcome.
Hello. You're on mute, Brian, so get unmuted, and then we will say hello to you. Hello.
Classic mute mistake. Hey, guys.
That's it happens.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for coming on. Very excited to talk about this book. This is a delightful book, per the title, about Dracula. He hosts a brunch club. The vampires are all obsessed with jelly donuts in particular. You guys listening, watching, you get it. You go, you know what's going
everybody
on.
Everybody loves jelly.
But yeah, everybody, yes, that's the subtext, is everybody loves jelly. But things go horribly wrong when some of the jelly goes missing. It sounds all ages, but it is. Like, I think you could give this to a kid, you could give this to an adult, but like, it's legit all ages, goofy, fun adventures. I want to ask you about the book, but I want to ask you about one thing in particular first, and I think I know the answer to this. But the foreword to your book, I was like, oh, there's a foreword. Let me read the foreword real quick. The foreword is from Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. How did that happen?
He's a vampire, right?
Yeah.
He's a vampire.
I just kept sending him donuts till he finally agreed to.
That's it.
He finally agreed to do it. Now he's actually my brother-in-law. So we were. We married sisters, and like, you know, we're all very supportive of everyone doing creative things. And he's like, hey, just like, do you want me to do anything to, you know, help help you out or whatever? And like, his dad was a big comics collector. His little brother was just out at Comic-Con like doing all sorts of stuff, so like he comes from a comics family, so it wasn't like a random kind of thing. Mm-hmm. and him and his girls have been aware of this since we started, you know, I started writing it, so it seemed to fit.
That's awesome.
Is awesome. That is not what I expected, because you also have a background as a music video director, right?
Yes.
So I was like, oh, that's how he knows Kevin Jonas, but yeah, I was wrong.
No, it's even tighter than that, Alex.
Exactly.
No.
But let's talk about this book. This, I think, also comes from your love of donuts. Is that correct?
Come on, bro. Yes, dude.
Was at least part of the inspiration here. So talk about donuts. Talk about your love of donuts, your favorite donut, etc.
Yeah, big inspiration. I mean, like, I grew up in central Pennsylvania where, like, the culinary food scene is not really a thing, but we do bake goods really well, and you know, so I've always been around like donuts and stuff like that. And then when I'm a producer, that's my day job, so you know, I travel a lot on film sets, and we were, you know, each town I go to, I try to find like, hey, what's the best donut spot, and just keep going there.
The donut
and I started
sitch.
Yeah. I know. I started like documenting it on a donut blog. If you go to thedonuthunter.com, you can find, whoa, you know, some.
I've never seen Pete move so fast to this computer. Just,
yeah. And then,
did you say, you know, so I'm sorry, did you say donuthunter.com?
Yeah. The okay, donut. Great.
Yeah. Don't go to donuthunt.com.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very different.
Dude, I'm going down a wormhole, man, with this.
Yeah. Because yeah, so Pete has D O U G H nuthunter.com. So it's like you guys are rivals in a weird way.
So, but before we continue, I got to say, like, what, we talking maple donut? Like, what's your PA donut spot, bro? I mean, come on.
Anything, like, let's see, PA donut spot. There's a lot of, like, good, there's a lot of, like, Amish around, you know, so they do their own baked goods. But, you know, there's, if you look on the back of my, the back of the book, there's a picture of me kind of holding up a donut in front of my eye, and that's from Federal Donuts in Philly.
Oh, like, yeah, that, dude! Like,
oh, my come God, on! Of course.
Federal Donuts is good. That is good, bro. Yeah, that is just,
that's
well
a good,
done,
that's a good,
sir. Yeah. Now I trust everything that you say, and yeah, oh, man, you've won me over.
Donut bona fide over here. Really good.
To continue in Pete's wheelhouse, though, what also draws you to Dracula? How did he get in the mix?
I don't know. I've always liked sort of these scary mythological creatures. I was never the one to like the Goosebumps. Like, I always wanted to read it, but I didn't want to be up scared, you know, kind of all night. So parody is something that like really softens kind of the humor. If you look at like Young Frankenstein or What We Do in the Shadows, you know, books and films and movies like that, it's kind of entertainment. There's a bit of horror in it, but it's not like overly scary. It's much more approachable. So I wanted to make a book like that that could be approachable for kids and maybe want to read scary, but not want to be up all night. And also just kind of have fun with the genre a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the art does such a great job of, as soon as you see Dracula, you're like, oh, I love this guy. This guy is cool. He's you know, the art gives a softness, a little bit of a heart to him. So you're not scared of him. You're rolling with him, which is great.
Yeah. He's really seeing himself portrayed for the first time.
What are these donuts in there? Yeah. No, the illustrator, that was a big thing. He was doing a music video. He put out a music video for this band All Time Low. They're like a pop punk band called Monster. And I saw it like years ago, and I was like, oh, that's the style that's in my head. It was kind of that 90s Cartoon Network cartoon kind of vibe. And you know, I reached out to him, and we started his name's Keenan Gaba, and we started collaborating on this, putting it together, and just he adds so much to the expressions and the characters and like elevates the comedy in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The art, truly. Not to keep on it, but it also reminded me a little bit of Gravity Falls.
Yes.
In a certain way.
I've heard a lot of that. Like people on Goodreads and all that mention Gravity Falls. And I was like, I got to check this out. Like my daughter's
great.
Like in the age right before Gravity Falls. Mm. And so I started watching it on, I think Disney Plus. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty
great show.
We mentioned this before, but one of the big things about the book is that vampires love jelly donuts. I assume part of that was just taking these two ideas, the Dracula thing and the donuts thing, and putting it together. But then how do you build a plot out of that? Because it could be like a one-joke book, but there's a lot of different characters you're balancing in here, a lot of plot you're balancing in here. This is not like a 10-page, 3-words-a-page children's book or something like that. This is a full-on graphic novel.
Yeah. And that was my biggest thing, too. I was like, can I write something this long? So, you know, I really outline everything before I get into it. And, you know, I had the nugget of the idea. It's like, oh, it's like a twisted origin story of why vampires like blood. And obviously beforehand, the blood orange jelly in a donut is what gave them their kind of everlasting all night energy. So then, it was about like kind of bringing that whole kind of story arc and you know, he's got this brunch club, he's got someone that's trying to consolidate the power and take over the power, and you know, he's getting rid of all the jelly in the land, and you know, there's this human and vampire dynamic that is kind of fragile, because you know, there's vampire hunters back in the day, but Dracula's doing a good job of kind of bringing both, you know, humans and vampires together. So there's kind of adding those elements and some humans in there really gave it a little more of a story than just kind of a one joke 4-panel webcomic.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, you've done music videos. You've also done a couple of movies as well, but this is your first graphic novel. So not to throw you under the bus or anything, but like, what was the biggest challenge there? What was the biggest hiccup where you're like, oops, I did that wrong. Let me back up a couple of pages and start this again.
I would read comics and graphic novels like, but sparingly. When we were, I wrote like 13 short stories of like twisted origin stories, like what happens to werewolves during the other moon phases, or like why you can't find the Loch Ness monster, things like that. Pitched it out, and they're fun little stories like this, very comedic. We pitched it out, and editors were like, "I like this. I just want to see more." And so my agent was like, "Would you ever consider this as a graphic novel?" And I was like, "I don't know, maybe." And so I read this book. I don't know if you ever heard of Camp Midnight. It is a great book that kind of had the spooky and the comedy in it. And I was I was looking more into it. I was like, oh, it's written like a script. I'm like, I've done films, I work around scripts all the days. So it really just kind of flowed out naturally. Once I outlined it, then it's a lot of dialogue, screen direction. So I really paneled everything out and paced everything out when I was writing. And it gave Keenan, you know, a great framework because it was his first one too. But you know, he's got this animation and storyboarding background for the animated music videos that he does, and it kind of worked out nicely based on our backgrounds kind of merging into this this graphic novel world.
I think a producing brain, I agree with you, actually works well in comics because it is very like wide view thinking. And then finding the pods, the buckets, and being like, okay, here, we're going to do this, and you're moving through. It's a much more sort of front-loaded organizationally-based creative endeavor. So, like, that's such a interesting observation that, like, you came through it through that mindset.
Yeah, I like doing the research. I like doing the, like, putting the pieces together, finding the illustrators, and finding different, different things when we're doing marketing and everything. So I like the producer side of me likes putting the pieces together and finding talent and working on something else now too, where I found this other illustrator is like a little different style, but still really unique. So, you know, that's where it gets me.
This is maybe not so much on your end, but we've had a couple of Oni Press guests on the show who come from filmmaking. This is their first comic book project. And we say kind of the same thing each time, because I think this has been very true with the Oni Press projects. Yeah. We've seen a lot of stuff on the show from filmmakers where it's usually like, this was a screenplay and then I made it a comic so that I can sell it back to film. But that's not what any of those feel like. And that's not what this feel like as well. Yeah. Was that anything that Oni Press impressed on you to be like, comic first, that's what this is? Or did that sort of just come naturally?
Yeah, it kind of came first. I mean, if this would spin off into anything else, I'd be more than, you know, happy. I just like making bits of entertainment, whether it's film, whether it's books. But no, like they have a whole entertainment division side to them. So I think they naturally pull in people with similar interests to their company. But yeah, it was always graphic novel first.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit before we got on, the pub date got moved a little later. It's going to be on August 26th, but it's rolling out to Scholastic Book Fairs now. Yeah. How cool was that? Something you went to back in the day? Or you?
Oh yeah, I was. Yeah. I just
of course. How could you avoid it as a kid?
I don't want to assume anybody's background or anything like that.
Yeah, I just posted a video on that kind of announcing, because this is the first week of the fall Scholastic Book Fairs, and just kind of like, you know, saying it's like, oh, I can't wait till kids can pick this up and then put it down for a Lamborghini poster. You know, it's like, yeah.
That is such a warm feeling to hear like that be an option for something like this, to be like, yes, they get to check that. I mean, I'm sure it's different now, but pencil in the little X on your book on the form. Man. Like, that's so exciting.
I know. And that's the only thing that's making my daughter think I'm cool right now. It's like, because that'll be in her book fair. But that's always the battle. It's like you give them $40 and they come home with like a book and three toys and you're just like,
yeah. Yeah. This locked diary is the key. We're going to lose the key immediately. Exactly. I don't think this is a valuable use of our money.
It's fuzzy if I touch it. It's fuzzy.
But it's great that you can get your daughter to sort of push the book in class.
Oh, she was great. My wife. Yeah, my wife and I, we were at a book thing because she released a cookbook earlier this year, and I had all these stickers, and so she was walking up to every kid, be like, "Do you want a sticker? Do you want a sticker?" Like, no fear. So, little marks there, my street crew.
Now that you have done the first graphic novel, though, do you have the comic bug? Are there more comics in your future, or are you going to be still dabbling in other areas of media?
No, I got the bug now. So it's like Keenan and I, like, once we got the Scholastic book sale, I mean, that's a pretty sizable sale and good momentum. So we start outlining a sequel. We'll see if that, you know, has any merit. I got something else in the middle grade territory. I've got one other one that's in the YA space that we're just, you know, finishing pitch packets and art for that and ready to pitch that out. So there's a bit of a bug there. I love the world and just getting more immersed into it, and, you know, watching things like your show. It's just it's a cool community.
Yeah, that's awesome. And will Joe Jonas be introducing the next book?
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. Yeah. I'll ask him.
All right, you have at least three books. You can do at least three books.
Yeah. Three books, three brothers. Let's get it.
That's how it works. That's how the business works. Brian, congratulations on the book. Yeah, it's love awesome. The book, it's so man. Much fun. And have a great night.
Awesome. Really cool. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks. Right. Good
great talking to you.
All right, there we go. Once again, the book is called Dracula's Brunch Club. It's out from Oni Press on August 26th. Or if you are at a school that is open and having a Scholastic Book Fair, as we mentioned, you can encourage your kid to pick it up there. It is a delightful book for them.
I think you could go down there, jump in, check in, get a form if you're a random adult.
Yeah, or you could be like one third of an adult in a trench coat and sneak in.
There you go. I was going
to
say,
harder to go that way. Harder to go that way.
Let's not bury the lead, though. I mean, donuthunter.com is also where all the magic is. So make sure people check that out.
Great. We're going to be streaming to donuthunter.com starting next week.
As soon as this is over, that's where I'm going.
Excellent.
Pete, what's your local donut shop now that you live in Pennsylvania?
Well, that's why Maple Donut, about. Baby. It's such a great, like, they just, a little bit of maple to the glaze. It's, dude.
I'm in upstate New York. This is like Maple Donut headquarters.
Yeah, that's true, bro.
Because there's a lot of Amish people up here, and they are crushing the donut market. Because that's like a drug to them. They have less, you know?
Yeah, I remember there was a little place in the Adirondacks we would stop, and it was just like this little roadside place that made unbelievable donuts.
I'm right here, probably. Alex, we're just talking upstate Amish donuts for a second. Can you just let us talk for a second, Alex?
I love it, but this feels like a little more in the line of what we talk about in Audience Questions.
Look at this guy.
And in Audience Questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments, and we will get to it. I'd love to hear what you guys are drinking, but first, I do want to mention that we've got a sponsorship going for the next couple of weeks Drawerbox Storage System, which sounds very technical, but this comes from CollectionDrawer.com. This is, if you get the regular comic book storage boxes, you know what those are. They have a lid on top. The thing that's cool about these is they're still made out of the same sort of cardboard, but they're actual drawers that you could pull out, and they come in the long boxes and the short boxes. I actually got a couple for my son a while back, and they've been great because you can actually put them on a shelf and take it out and look at the comic books versus having to take the whole box out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called being organized. It's easy. Let's do this.
Oh, is it?
They did a great job of, like, upgrading the cardboard box thing. You know what I mean? It's like, you can stack them six high, which is great. No problem. They're sturdier than normal. And the drawer feature is just nice. They come with dividers. No more kind of leaning in the...
They are paying us to do a sponsorship and everything, but I love the dividers. They legitimately are great. Like, they come with these cardboard dividers. They also have this thing called box locks, which if you're not putting it on your shelf, if you're just stacking them, there's obviously a worry of them, like, tipping over and killing you. You could actually lock the boxes together to basically make a de facto bookshelf out of them. What?
Nothing. A de facto fortress of solitude that you can sit in and read comics.
You could actually lock them in a square and then get it.
That's
lock yourself in your comics.
It sounded like you were building a panic room for comic readers.
I mean, that is what...
Build your own happy place.
I plan on dying there eventually. We'll see.
So yeah, they're fantastic. Collectionjour.com. Highly recommend them. We'll be talking about them for the next couple of weeks. And if you do buy any from the site, let them know the Comic Book Club sent you. They have a little
field
where you can let them know where you found out about the collection drawers. Let them know that because, you know, that helps everybody. There you go.
Yeah.
But what are you guys drinking? What you drinking today?
I'm doing a little daytime. A little Lagunitas daytime. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Daytime as we slip into nighttime. I was drinking a slight variation on the cocktail that Stray Bullies created for Mike DeMundo. Really enjoyed it. I just didn't have any palm juice. No palm juice.
Oh, that's too bad. Pete, I'm surprised you're not drinking a garage beer, which, as we found out very recently, but you never mentioned on the podcast, is a beer made by one of the Kelsey brothers.
That's right. Yeah. Well, they don't make it, but they're kind of backing it.
You know, he touches every grain. He touches every grain that
with
goes
his beard. He just kind of you know just rubs.
Yeah, that's the filter. That's the first filter.
And then he touches the beer.
Different Kelsey brother, Alex.
I honestly, I don't care.
Oh, whoa. Why did you bring it up if you don't care then?
No,
here's the
I
truth.
Don't care which is which.
Were you jealous?
Alex is
you
the
mad?
Third. Alex is the third Kelsey brother they've never invited into the group. He changed his name to Zalbin.
That's why I started this podcast Alex Kelsey. Instead of they won't allow me on their podcast. It's a real bummer.
Well, you got a bad attitude.
Pete, did you pick up the beer because it was a Kelsey Brothers beer, or did you just organically get it in a supermarket?
No, I listen to the podcast all the time, and so the advertising is on there. And as you know, I'm trying different beers, so I figured, and Eric in the comments is like, garage beer is solid, cheap beer, and I agree. It's a solid, solid light beer.
Advertising works, whether it's for garage beer or collectionjour.com. All right, here we go. Dad of Dash says, this is for Pete, F, Mary Kill, Cyclops, Professor X, Lollipop Head version, or Reed Richards.
Uh-oh, this is a question that could actually destroy Pete.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck or marry any of them. I would kill them all.
Not a choice, though.
Yeah.
You gotta
kill
one of them, and then... Why don't you kill one first, and then you can figure out the rest?
That's how all of our lives work.
All of them. Yeah, I guess... I could kill Professor X, Lollipop version. He's the worst.
Wow.
And then I guess marry Reed Richards, because at least...
Of course.
He's better because he's a good husband?
He's not a good husband, but at least he's been married for a while.
Your biggest complaint about him is his husbanding. So it's funny that you're sliding in as...
I would torture Professor X before I killed him.
So let's just be real quick on this and say what you're saying. You want to fuck Cyclops?
I don't want to. No, I do not.
Now, in that scenario, are you Jean Grey or are you Emma Frost?
Oh, really good.
Yeah, maybe Emma Frost. That way, could go diamond and they have no memory of it or anything. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Not how the power works at all.
Pete can go diamond. Let's be clear. Pete can go diamond.
Great. This is from Stray Bullet.
Great
what
question.
Is my secret quiz reward? I was asked this by someone. I'm no snitch.
I forgot.
Week.
Yeah, so he unlocked the Justin secret quiz. And then I forgot that I had one more. If you win it, you unlock a bonus question.
Oh, okay.
So
he already
sounds
won.
Like a rewrite.
Well, so he can go with the prize. Which the prize is a JT Sizzle style rant on any character of his choosing, or he could
wait,
press
then
his
I do
luck.
Or you do.
You
so
do.
I'm sorry, just to check, not to interrupt, but when I the quiz was me giving a prize, I had to physically mail a prize to Schuykler, but when it's Justin, he just gets to like talk, which he's doing anyway all the time.
I do love to talk. To prize for
it's
both
not
of
just
us.
Any kind of talk. JT Sizzle is known for his rant, his like take a deep breath
I'm
in
known
and
for
just kind
my
of
spending money on postage. Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah.
For?
Yeah.
I so sorry, Alex. Yes, you are. You're a postage king.
Yeah, you're
right,
a postage
that's
king.
What I'm known
you could
for.
Do anything.
Yeah, that's you're a stamp big. Daddy. We call you Stamp Daddy.
Oh boy. So. Or he can press his luck, and there's a bonus question. But if he presses his luck and doesn't get it right, then there's no prize.
So that's okay. Let's keep in mind the prize is me just talking more. So I think press your luck, Stray. Get okay. that next question.
And just so we know, if he does want to press his luck, he does have 48 hours to answer. He doesn't have to answer right away.
2 days?
2 days.
He's definitely Eric pressing MCI his luck. 900 says, I'm in the Philly area right now. Pete, what is the top pick for a cheesesteak that isn't the normal Rex?
Oh, yes. Go under the radar.
Can we finish one thing before we...
No. I'm scrolling down looking through the questions. We'll get back to the
okay,
quiz.
Okay, all right.
Just keep the piece of paper in front of you. Write donuthunter.com a bunch of times out of this.
Yes. The Stamp Daddy likes
totally
to be
organized. Blanking on... So it's Del something.
Taco.
Delco, yes. Thank you.
Del Mundo.
Delco does an amazing...
Mike Del Mundo.
Cheesesteak.
Go
and my favorite cheesesteak is in West Philly. It's a little no-name shop on a corner that just, it's just delicious. The bread is so fresh.
Why don't you ever give addresses? So we can come see you, come see this cheesesteak place. You're like, it's a no-name
place. Leave me the fuck alone.
I don't have a street number, you said. You're crushing Stamp Daddy over here who loves mailing stuff to people. And he just needs a number.
I do. Call me Stamp Daddy because I'm forever. Schreckler says, what other iconic characters need to do food-themed comics?
All of them.
Always. Ooh, interesting. Food-themed. By iconic, I think, so we're talking Dracula earlier into a donut situation. So what are the epic, long-serving characters that need a food theme?
Like a merman type of thing?
Like a Mickey Mouse cheese-themed, cheese plate. Mm-hmm. Situation.
Oh, yeah, I wonder what the Loch Ness monster eats. You know what I mean?
Humans.
Whatever he wants.
Humans.
By the way, Strabble will press his luck, he says.
All right.
And also, for clarity, not to destroy this joke, but Schreckler says, Alex, I came to you for the prize. I walked all the way to Inter City. He did pick it up for me in person at Bix. So.
Yeah, so what the fuck are you talking about?
Wait, are you not Stamp Daddy?
Yeah, are you not Stamp Daddy? You just set us up and then you lied to us?
Sorry, man.
And Schreckler had to call you out because you're a straight liar?
You're a walk daddy? You make him walk?
You're making him walk, bro?
I made him clap.
Wait, what happened to food-themed monsters?
Anybody? I don't know, but I also got distracted by a Stray Bullet saying I'll press my fucking luck. Okay. Give it the bonus question.
Okay, here we go. Here's the bonus Justin question.
Oh, God. I'm glad I'm here.
Okay. What is the name of Justin's dog before, who is no longer with us?
I mean, that's very easy, but also that's fucked up. His grave is right here.
I realized I had a... question, but it wasn't just related on the Justin quiz, so I just tried to come up with something.
Oh, well, that was not a great thing to come up with. What was your other question?
Well, it was something that was a bonus question.
A traumatic event in Justin's
but
life.
It wasn't Justin related.
Yeah.
That what it actually was what was the necklace that I wore for that had my favorite Dragon Ball Z character on it? That's more of a deep
question. I know that one.
You do?
I do.
You don't remember?
We got it together at
character?
A convention. Was it at that Long Island convention?
Oh, I want to say it was.
I think it was
out there. It was out there. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think it was out on Long Island, or maybe like a very. It was some university. There was barely anybody there. We were supposed to host a Young Justice panel that two people showed up at, and the talent who were involved. And then we walked around for a while. I think at one point, to Cary Payton, we were like, hey, you want to do an interview? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, you bought it there. I remember that.
Yeah.
Stray Bullet does say Pip don't slip, so he did get the bonus question. I can give this one to him. It's Piccolo? Is that the name of the character?
Piccolo.
Piccolo.
Yeah.
All right.
Piccolo.
Piccolo. Well, there you go. What's the bonus prize that he wins, Pete?
Well, Stamp Daddy's going to send him a care package of, swag. So
this is a underbaked prize.
It was either a JT Sizzle rant or a sweet care package.
Great. Undiscussed
Great. Well,
so maybe it'd be a bunch of stuff that Brooklyn will enjoy. So it could be a win-win. You know what I mean?
Hey, for some reason, let's continue with this with trivia.
All right, so, this part, we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics online. And, you know, if you had $25, why not go to a comic book shop?
That's very funny. Yes, this is Eric, MCI 900. Visit stampdaddy.com. Use code CBC for 25% off. Yo, that's the business we should be running later.
Yeah, we should be doing that.
I believe we got it at a bulk deal. It redirects to donuthunt.com, which you should not visit. That's all I'm going to say. But somebody say me so you can play trivia. Say me.
Let's say pick me.
Me. Or... let's get someone from LinkedIn in here, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Get the LI heads out here.
Looking at Instagram. Nobody on Instagram has commented.
How about Kick?
I don't know how to do that.
Kick!
Pick Eric. Eric, you want to do
MCI.
It?
Eric MCI.
Yeah, there you go.
Eric, you've been holding down our Twitch fan base for quite some time. Get in here. And we love a Twitch response time.
Easy Reader says me. And then Eric says, absolutely. Who are you going to pick, Pete?
Well, Easy Reader first said pick Eric. So I say I say we go with Eric.
All right, we'll go with Eric.
Easy, we'll get you next time.
There we go. Thank you, Easy, for the help there. Today's trivia is about Bug Wars and a small nod to the legend Julian McMahon. RIP Dr. Doom. Okay, please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. Bug Wars has to do with the family from where? Is it A, Alabama, B, now Chrissy, oh, sorry, I read that fast, Chris Lee.
By the way, I want to thank you for doing a tribute that is actually thematically appropriate to our comic book talk show. Thank you, Pete.
Hey, no problem, man.
See, Pete's putting it together for us in this late summer energy. This is like everyone's on vacation.
This is the summer of Pete.
Ever vigilant.
Hot Pete Summer. I don't know.
Pete is the song of the summer.
Yes, Eric says Alabama is correct.
Really nice.
Here we go. Question number two. Who is the main character in this badass comic? Is it A, Slade Slaymaker? B, now some things went missing, but I don't want to name blame, but C, Rachel Steele.
Sir, may you say your accusation in front of the judge. Rachel Steele. Rachel Steele? Take Rachel's stuff. Rachel Steele.
It's a tough name to have. You're right, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really highlighting this actor, I'm assuming.
Slade, not the Terminator?
That is correct, yeah. Slade Slaymaker.
Slade Slaymaker.
Sweet comic book name, I'll tell you.
Great
what.
Great name.
Here we go. Question number three. And this one's one of... Alex is going to love it because it's very trivia. It's very, you know... Who is my favorite character so far? Is it A, Pac the Rhino Beetle? B, are you in charge of the land down under? C, Ozzie Mayer.
Honestly... Everyone reading Bug Wars, I know that Pac is your favorite character because he works hard and he shows up and he's loyal, like our guy Pete LePage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I love a loyal sidekick.
Let's see what Eric says. We'll find out.
Yeah, we're holding steady.
Easy Reader's having fun. That's important.
Go hard with A.
Yeah, A is correct. A. Well done.
Congratulations.
$25 free.
Gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email. We'll get that off to you. Pete.
And probably a care package from Stamp Daddy, I'm sure, with this loss of included. We just do that now, right?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. What is the secret movie that you're referencing, Pete?
Of course, I'm talking about the 2014 drama, You're Not You.
Ah, good. Thank you for calling that out from Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer actor, Julian McMahon. Much appreciated, Pete.
Yeah, no problem.
As we all know, new comic books come out all the time. What are you guys looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow? Pete?
Oh man, a lot of great stuff to talk about. A lot of great stuff coming out. Oh, how do you just pick one? It's very hard. So I won't. I'm going to go with Transformers number 23, as well as Batman and Robin number 24.
Wow, shocking that Pete did not take my pick. Bug Wars number 6, bringing this iteration of the series super close.
I gotta leave some for you guys.
I know. Thanks for leaving a little nibble on Pack the Beatles aphid ass for me here, Pete. Because I love this comic. I'm so excited to see how it comes to a close. And so that, definitely looking forward to that. But also let me shout out the Ultimates number 15 from the Dennis Camp Camp. This comic is good.
Camping, bro.
Really been loving it. It's camping. I'm in up in upstate New York. I'm the donut capital of the United States of America. Pete gets it. So definitely excited to get back to the Dennis Camp Camp of Ultimates 15.
I am very excited about Superman. The Kryptonite Spectrum is coming out from DC Comics. That's from the Ice Cream Man team working on Superman and a Black Label book. So that's very cool. New issue of the Power Fantasy coming out. So that's great. And also really looking forward to the conclusion of I Was a Fashion School Serial Killer, which is a bloody, funny mess of a book that I've really been enjoying. All of those books and many, many more are going to be in our pack stack. Coming out 9 a.m. Wednesday in the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Brian Gonsar for coming on to talk about Oni Press Dracula's Brunch Club. Also, Mike Del Mundo for talking about the Marvel art of Mike Del Mundo. Next week on the show, Jimmy Pamiotti and Amanda Connor are going to be here to talk about Dynamite's Harley Quinn X-Elvira. Also, AJ Ampadu is going to be here to talk about Tales of the Shadow Man, part of the Valiant Beyond initiative, so that should be a big fun one. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast, Monday through Friday in its own feed. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, just talked about Eyes of Wakanda on there. Sons of a Gun, our DC podcast, talked a little bit about Superman, so check that out. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, folks.
Take care of yourself out there. Thanks for listening. They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they let that special guest speak. So grab your grin.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.